It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The deaths of three prominent black leaders in western Pennsylvania has put the spotlight on the need for bone marrow donors, especially in the African-American community. Today, we're discussing the efforts to increase awareness and register potential donors. I'm joined now in Studio A by Daria Crawley, an associate professor of management at Robert Morris University. Daria, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you.
Also with us here in studio is Howard Russell of East Hills, who is owner of a private equity firm. Howard Russell, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And also taking part in the conversation by phone, Nadia Dutchin, National Account Executive for Be The Match. She will be joining us shortly. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. And I understand Nadia Dutchin, National Account Executive for Be The Match, a global leader in bone marrow transplantation, is with us now by phone. Nadia Dutchin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you.
Before he died, Rex Crawley, a professor of communication at Robert Morris and co-director of the Black Male Leadership Development Institute, began a campaign to encourage black people to donate marrow and organs. Daria Crawley, first let me say how much we enjoyed having Rex on this program when he visited with us back in June. How much does it mean to you to see the effort to carry on his work being initiated?
Well, thank you. Rex was delighted to be on the program in June, and I'm looking at Howard right now, and I'm saying thank you. Howard is really continuing Rex's passion. I know they had a conversation when Rex was in the hospital, and the hope was that, and Rex's intention was that he would be here to kind of join hands with Howard in increasing the number of African Americans who are registered. But I am delighted that this is going on. I know Rex is smiling in heaven. He's happy. I mean, I miss him. I wish he was here. But the fact that this is continuing, Rex was a community leader. He was about the community. On some level, this was self-serving. He needed a donor. He knew that he couldn't find a donor, so he was going to do kind of what they call a transplant to himself using his own bone marrow. But he knew that there were individuals out there who needed donors. And the fact that this is continuing, I know, makes him happy.
And he certainly brought attention to a problem. There's a nationwide shortage of donors in the black community. Nadia Dutchin, do we know why this is?
You know, honestly, it's really because of the lack of awareness. Most people are very, very afraid of the idea of bone marrow donation. Just the mere phrase kind of strikes fear into the hearts of most people. So demystifying the process, really, and explaining how easy it is to join and how easy and painless it is to donate are probably two of the things that we need to do more of to kind of, you know, help people get on board with the idea of joining the registry. It's just very frightening for a lot of people. So, you know, creating awareness and education is super important.
Is there some level of skepticism in the black community or just in general out there about the, you know, how much of a difference people can make?
Well, yeah, I think, I really do feel that most people think that someone else will do it. I don't think that people really take ownership of the fact that they are so very incredibly unique, and they may be the only match for someone like Rex or, you know, many of the 12,000 other patients who are in need of a transplant every year. You know, people really always think someone else will do it or I would do it for my own family member, but they don't realize how unique they are and how much they can make an impact. The cure, we have a cure for most diseases that bone marrow transplants treat, but we don't have enough people to satisfy the need for the cure.
I think that's a good point that you're making there, Nadia. Most people think, well, you know what, I'll do it for my family. But I can share with you that both of Rex's sisters were not matches for him. So, you know, the assumption is kind of like Robin Roberts, oh, you'll get a family member to do it. But sometimes even your family members are not a match. So you do need to kind of go out to the greater population and seek out a match.
Actually, 70% of people, I apologize,
no,
70%
right.
of people do not match a family member.
Right.
It's a very rare thing to actually match a full-blooded sibling. You don't match parents or cousins or, you know, nieces or nephews generally. So again, you know, we have to do this for ourselves. People are depending on volunteers, the kindness of strangers to do this for them.
And I've read that African Americans have the lowest chance of finding an available match. Why is that?
Well, for those the above reasons, you know, that there just are not enough people who will join. However, the really sad thing is that in general, and this is not just in the African American community, but in general, about 50% of people are unavailable to actually donate. So being available is the other hurdle that we have. We do need people to be committed when they join. We don't want them to join because, you know, Bob next door needs a transplant. We need them to join so that they can be there when it's time for them to be called for whomever. But we also need people to update their information. It's a little difficult to track people. You know, our target demographic is the college-age students, and you know how transient they are. In general, they, you know, they move and graduate and go places. And so, you know, people updating their information and staying current with us is another key factor.
And the age range that you're looking for is 19 to 44?
18 to 44, but really our real like underlying target demographic is really 18 to 25. Those are the people who are chosen most often from transplant doctors. If they have a 19-year-old versus a 44-year-old, they're going to choose the 19-year-old.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm looking at Daria across from me, who is a healthy, striking woman who is actually told me, I won't say any specifics, but you told me that you've aged out of the
which just seems
shocking, but I guess that's just the way science works.
It is the way science works. I know I signed up my sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We had a donor drive back at an international conference in Baltimore many years ago before I met Rex, and I signed up with Be the Match, but I have aged out. But because I've aged out, I'm still trying to continue this process, especially as a college professor. I know that there are lots of college students who are touched by Rex and the things that he did. Well, now's a way to kind of continue his dream. While he might not be the direct beneficiary, he does benefit because his dream of increasing the number of African Americans who are part of this registry is important. I think sometimes for African Americans, we're both concerned about the process of donation, and maybe Nadia, you might be able to talk about that. And sometimes we just don't think that we get leukemia or lymphoma or these blood diseases where having a donor could be helpful. We might think that maybe more it's some of the other types of cancers that run in our population, but this is also significant for us and can assist us.
And by the way, no one would ever know that you were no longer in the age range. Just to emphasize that point. I would like to invite our listeners to join the conversation. 412-246-2002. Have you been a donor? Were you at one point reluctant to be on the registry and then changed your mind? And if so, what did change your mind? We'd like to hear from you, 412-246-2002. Maybe you are related to someone who has been saved by a donor. We would also like to have you join the conversation and share your story with us here on Essential Pittsburgh, 412-246-2002. We're talking with Daria Crawley, also Nadia Dutchin, and want to bring Howard Russell into the conversation. Howard, we know that these transplants are important, life-saving. How does the process work?
The process of the transplant itself?
Yes, yes.
I think Nadia would be a far better person to answer that. My focus has just been to galvanize the troops, make certain we have enough awareness happening, and so that when we do our registries sometime in February, we have enough people not only manning the registry drives that day, but we've done enough awareness that people will actually come out. But I'll defer to Nadia because she, in my opinion, would be the expert answering that.
Nadia, with Be the Match, go ahead and explain that for us.
Well, sure. And let me just make a quick correction. Actually, Daria is not too old to donate. people do not age out until the age 61.
Oh, okay.
But for joining purposes, we want people who are going to give us a little bit more bang for our buck, so to speak.
Good correction.
We try to register people who are younger. But thank you for asking about the donation processes, because those are the mysterious part that people are afraid of. So to people's relief, 75% of the time it's actually done in a similar fashion to donating plasma or platelets at the blood bank. It's a very, very easy process. It's called PBSC, which is peripheral blood stem cells. And basically what we do is we give potential donors an injection of a drug called Neupogen over the course of 5 days. That drug actually helps the bone marrow to replicate more stem cells and then mobilizes them out of the bone and into the bloodstream so that we can actually collect it. So what we do is we pull the blood out of one arm, and it spins through a machine via centrifugation, and we keep the stem cells, and we actually give everybody their whole blood back in the other arm. The process normally takes about 4 to 6 hours in one particular day. Sometimes it can take 2 days, but usually it's just one day. The most difficult thing, I've seen with that particular procedure is just having to sit still for about 4 hours. You know, you can bring company with you, and you can watch movies. I saw a lady who, you know, who was taking a nap, and she explained later that she was a mother of like 4 children and she just came to get a nap. Bless her heart. But, you know, it's that simple. It is not very complicated. Most people return to their normal activities the same day. They can actually go back to work if they so choose. But I tell people, if you save a life, take a day off work at least, you know, reward yourself a little. But it's very, very simple. So, again, that's what we do 75% of the time. And I know, you know, most people in general, and especially those in our community, we don't like needles. But when you think about what the patients are going through, and I think Derek can talk about watching Rex go through chemo and bone marrow aspirations and the nausea and the vomiting and all of the wonderful, terrible things that they go through. It's just absolutely heart-wrenching to see patients go through that. Those needle sticks and those injections that you're getting over the 5 days do not compare to the suffering of that patient or their family who are watching them. We've got to do better. So 75% of the time, it's just that. The other 25%, we do the surgical method, and it is nothing like what you see in 7 pounds. You're dead asleep. We don't even allow people to be awake. It's not even an option. But we just go into the back of the pelvis and we draw marrow out through the bone. We don't cut you open or break any bones or take pieces of bone. They literally put a syringe into the back of your pelvis and just draw marrow out. Most people feel like they have a backache when they wake up, and they're able to return to their normal activities within 48 hours or so. So the convalescence time is not 2 weeks, 3 weeks like people think it is. I mean, most people are really and truly back to their normal activities within just a few days. I know a lady who donated marrow on Monday and was in the gym on Wednesday.
Wow.
It really just depends.
That's probably the biggest concern that people have is will it be painful? And certainly compared to what the people who will benefit are going through, not nearly as much. But still people have their concerns and their fears, understandably. And it sounds like you've just allayed a lot of them.
I think so. And also people worry about missing work.
We usually don't even give people, you know, real, you know, heavy drugs when they go home. We tell people to take Tylenol and Advil. It's, you know, it does not compare. Again, it does not compare. It's uncomfortable. Absolutely. Yes, there's discomfort associated with it. But again, when we think about people suffering, and it's not just the patients, you know, it's their families, it's their friends, the entire community surrounding that patient is suffering with them. We have got to do better. We really have to do better. Us being afraid is understandable, but we've got to conquer that.
We are talking about the need for bone marrow donors, especially in the African community, the efforts to increase awareness and register potential donors. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. We have Christine from Pittsburgh on the line. Christine, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. My question is about the implication of if you are interracial, does that make your, you know, as far as a donor, does that make your genetic whatever I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Does that make it so rare or whatever that it might just not be needed, or we just wouldn't match anybody? It's not going to match black people. It's not going to match white people. You know what I mean?
Howard can answer your question, Christine.
I think, Christine, we need everyone who's willing to register, because you don't know who you're going to be a match with until you get that call. You know, there's various genetic mutations that result in people not being a match. And as Nadia mentioned earlier, siblings, often 70% of the time, are not matches. So it behooves all of us that are able to register, because you could be interracial. We all have a different type of genetic mutation, whether we're black, white. In my case, I have Indian in me. Someone else, black, can have Irish. So we have all these different types of genetic mutations, which requires someone specific to us to match with us. So Okay. We have to match.
It's worthwhile.
It definitely is.
Definitely worthwhile to join in.
Good question, Christine. Thanks for calling and bringing that up.
Thank you.
Howard, you're working on a campaign with local chapters of black fraternities and sororities known as the Divine Nine. Tell us about this.
Yes. Rex was my fraternity brother in Kappa Alpha Psi. And Kappa Alpha Psi is one of the nine black historical Greek organizations. We have national and local chapters. And he and I talked about, as he wanted to launch this Be the Match, of getting all the local organizations together, because this was much bigger than CAP, although we think we're the best fraternity around. But we realized that this doesn't impact just CAP, it impacts everybody. So we wanted to make certain we had all the organizations to not only support this event, this drive, but to make certain that they shared the awareness message to everyone that they're familiar with. We need to make this a large undertaking. And having nine organizations that have undergraduate chapters, if you do the numbers, we can, just here locally, we have over 1,000 active and inactive members, but members of our organizations collectively that can go and launch the awareness campaign, as well as the drive. And that's when you start talking about impact.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 1,000 people spreading the word, impact is far greater than just a handful of us. And that's what the Rex's goal was. Let's spread this word. Let's make this a major initiative here in the city so we can save lives. And hopefully if we do this right, we can take this approach nationally. So that's how we've started this process. And I'm just happy and delighted to keep taking this baton and moving forward.
And certainly the effort has to increase awareness and certainly to increase the number of donors, it has received a lot more momentum. There's much more of a push right now. And Nadia, for people who are not familiar with Be the Match, explain how this all started.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Be the Match is about 27 years old. And it started from two parents looking for a way to save their daughter. When we first started as a nonprofit organization, what we did is we reached out to platelet donors, plasma donors, via the Red Cross, and they were our first batch of donors. And this was many, many, many years ago. We are a global nonprofit organization headquartered in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Many of our staff reside in the greater 50 states, so we're all over the place. But our primary mission is to facilitate bone marrow transplants. Nearly everything that we do is, has global implications. We are the world's leader in bone marrow transplant and research, but we also serve patients. We are not just a one-trick pony. We recruit people into the registry. We grow and maintain the registry, but we also help to look after patients and make sure patients and their families have what they need. And we also do research. So we're really and truly a threefold company. Is truly interested in, and we care about the impact, enhancing the impact of transplants around the world.
412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to Paul in Pittsburgh. Paul, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you. This is Paul Spradley. I just want to say hello to Daria.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in. This is one of Rex's former mentees.
Yeah, and part of the reason I wanted to call is, I genuinely just appreciate, Daria's one of my all-time favorite people, and I appreciate the fact that you've been taking up this this charge. This is something that I feel like that I found an interest in. But one of the questions that I had was, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to see if I can be a match in the future. But the question that I have is, if I'm selected to be a match, is there the opportunity to do that again, or is it like you're one and done?
No, absolutely. You can do that twice in your lifetime.
Okay.
Great. Paul, we appreciate your efforts. We definitely appreciate your efforts.
So, yes, absolutely. So that's a very good question, Paul. And Nadia, so you can do it multiple times, but no more than twice.
No more than twice. Yeah, we think if you've done it twice, you've probably done enough. And we accept your donations gratefully, but we want to give your body a rest. But there are no long-term side effects that we're aware of. from donation, but we just think that that is just, you know, 2 points of wonderful stewardship is enough.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like Paul is a really giving person. He was
he
ready
is.
To,
he is a giving person.
Ready to go to bat more than twice if necessary. Let's go to Lauren in Regent Square. Lauren, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. Glad to hear you on the radio. I think it's an extremely important topic that you're discussing today. I think people need to know that getting on the registry merely means going to wherever they're having the registration and giving a small vial of blood at the time to have your blood type and DNA analyzed to see if you can be a donor later on. I did it some 20-some years ago for a young girl here in Pittsburgh and also for my nephew who at the time had leukemia and who is now a 23-year-old graduate of Notre Dame, never having had to have a bone marrow transplant, but it was always optimistic within the family that those tools were available. Mm-hmm. And I have a question. Does this help people with sickle cell anemia?
That is a good question.
Yeah, it does, actually. And here, the interesting thing. So the joining process has changed tremendously since 21 years ago. Now we just take a cheek swab, so we don't even draw blood anymore. We've modernized that process. So, yes, people can swab their cheek, and there are about 70 diseases, including sickle cell anemia, for which bone marrow transplant is either a very effective treatment or a cure.
Wow, look at that.
You know what's interesting? Last week after the initial news article came out, received calls from UPMC's sickle cell unit about how we can work with them, organ transplant unit the same, because, again, there's a need for donor, whether it's blood, organ, you name it, and this is a vehicle to do it. So, sickle cell is an important measure of how we can work collaboratively in this measure. So,
mm-hmm. And I think the other important takeaway from this is that it's a simple process. From what you described, Nadia, for somebody to go in there and do what Lauren did, pretty simple, pretty easy. It's not going to impact your time adversely. It's not incredibly painful. It's something that all of us can do.
Yes, definitely. I'd like to mm-hmm. encourage people to do it, to register, and to be available, and to know that just because you register now, Nadia, I know through Be the Match, if you are a match, they will call you and see, have circumstances changed in your life where maybe you can't donate now, or are you continuing to be willing to donate because there is somebody out there who you can save their life doing this.
And that's an important point, too, that if someone does get on the register, that it's not like you've made this commitment for life. You can change your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Richard in Johnstown. Richard, listening to us farther out in the eastern or central part of the state, east of here anyway. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, hello. Thank you very much. I always hear of the problems of conscripting donors or eliciting donors. And I think that everyone makes a healthy dollar on this, the physicians, the hospitals, and even insurance companies on this organ donor industry, if you want to call it that. Yet the most vital ingredient, the donor himself, is not part of the action. He doesn't get compensated financially for his donation. I think if people were compensated for their donations, we wouldn't have a lack of donors.
Hmm.
And I know that sounds rather venal, but I've 30 years ago, I heard a physician from Israel state the same thing. It was on 60 Minutes. And he put forth the idea of paying the donors for their donations.
Well, Nadia, let's let Nadia respond to what you raise an interesting point. Yeah. Richard, what about the idea of compensating the donors financially?
Well, it is illegal to do so, period. Our position as a company is that we want this process to be totally altruistic. You have to think about the fact that if somebody is offered compensation, they may change their mind and say, I want more. And then what? We've got a patient who's waiting on them. Once a patient goes through ablative chemotherapy where we kill off all of their bone marrow, they have to have that transplant. There's no turning back. And we can't wait on someone who is going to ask for more money or something, some other type of compensation. So we need the process to be altruistic for that very reason. People have to use
the kindness
of their heart.
And Richard, what about the idea that you are helping other people? I realize that there may not be the kind of tangible compensation that money would be, but at the same time, doesn't that feed the soul, knowing that you have helped someone in need?
Well, what about the souls of the hospitals and the physicians? Because they're getting compensated in amounts of money that have four and five zeros behind them. I think if this is such an altruistic endeavor, that everyone that participates in it should have the same goodness in their heart as to donate their services and their organs.
But I guess Nadia's
I've been touched by organ donation very closely a couple times. And
what about Nadia's point, though, that a donor could change their mind and ask for more money farther along in the process while the recipient is at their mercy and waiting, that they can raise other problems and complicate this already difficult process?
Well, I think all these unforeseeables could be regulated, and it's just not like people are going to be going into a Organs R Us and cutting a deal as if they were buying a used car or something.
Well, Richard, I appreciate your call and your feedback. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think the main thing to emphasize before we wrap this up, and we have come to time, is what is the best way that people can donate? What should people know before we wrap this up?
We're going to start a training session this Thursday at Mount Airy Baptist Church, and we'll probably have a second one to start training people on how to register people. How do you get the word out? And then the following 2 weeks, you'll start seeing a lot of information, other TV shows, radio shows, print media about awareness, discussions like we're having today about why you do this, why does it make sense, why save a life. And the goal is February 10th starts National Donor Registry Week, and we will have our local drives here in Pittsburgh and within Western PA focused on increasing. Yeah, our target is African-American registry. We need people to register all across the board because it's about saving lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a shortage of African-Americans, but it's a shortage of people all across the board. So that's our goal over the next 3 weeks is getting the word out and maintaining Rex's legacy of and dream of the increased amount of donors.
Daria Crawley is an associate professor of management at Robert Morris University. Howard Russell, whom you just heard of East Hills, is owner of a private equity firm. And Nadia Dutchin is national account executive for Be the Match, a global leader in bone marrow transplantation. Thanks to all of you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Robert Morris will hold a memorial service for Rex Crawley, the man who began the campaign to encourage black people to donate marrow and organs. The service will take place at 4 p.m. February 7th at the Sewell Center on the campus of RMU, where details of signing up for the registry will be discussed. Coming up, Rebecca Harris looks at the business of purchasing a car. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.